Hi, I'm Tony Rossi for the Christophers, and today Deacon Greg Kandra will share insights on how we can all grow closer to God during the season of Advent. After that, author Meadow Rue Merrill will talk about her children's book, The Christmas Cradle, and ways to better incorporate Christ into the holiday season. Stay with us. Christopher Close-Up starts right now. Hello and welcome to Christopher Close-Up. I'm Tony Rossi. With the holiday season upon us, people will be busy with Christmas shopping and decorating, but it's important to remember that the season of Advent calls us to grow in holiness and to grow closer to God. To help you spiritually prepare for Christmas, Deacon Greg Kandra has written a book for the Living Gospel series from Ave Maria Press. It's called Daily Devotions for Advent, and to tell us more, I am pleased to welcome to Christopher Close-Up, Deacon Greg Kandra. Deacon Greg, it's great to have you back on the show again.
Great to be here. Thank you, Tony.
Now, you were on the show a few months ago to talk about the spiritual awakening you experienced after 9/11. And in light of this new book of reflections, the Living Gospel Daily Devotions for Advent, I'm curious, how has your understanding and experience of Advent changed between those pre-9/11 days and today?
Well, I think I pay a lot more attention to the seasons of the church than I used to. Obviously, as an ordained member of clergy, I have to. But,
sure.
I pray a lot more consistently and a lot more intentionally, and I pay a lot more attention to the changing of the seasons. And one of the things I wanted to accomplish with this book, and I hope that I did that, was to remind people that Advent isn't Christmas. Mm-hmm. And the Advent season is something distinct unto itself, and we should approach it a little bit differently and center ourselves a little bit differently to get ready for Christmas.
Yeah. Well, let me talk about that approach a little bit, because, I mean, the two big seasons in the church are Lent and Advent. And when Lent comes around, we know we're supposed to either give something up or take on some new action to help us grow in holiness. But we don't really take that approach to Advent. So what are we supposed to be doing during Advent? How are we supposed to be getting ready?
Well, it's easy to forget that Advent is there because we're so distracted by Christmas and the shopping and the wrapping and the parties and the food and everything else. We're sort of consumed with consumption in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
And one of the things that we should try and do during Advent is to step away from all of that, mm-hmm. and spend more time quietly, prayerfully reflecting on what is about to happen when we celebrate the Incarnation, when we celebrate Christmas. So one of the goals of this little book was to try and encourage people to take just a few minutes a day, if not more, to step aside and to really spend time in contemplation and in prayer and in reflection, thinking quietly and peacefully about the time that is about to come. Because there's a whole long Christmas season. A lot of people forget about this. You know, Christmas begins on Christmas Day, and it goes well into January and beyond. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of celebration to come after that. But get ready for that so that you can appreciate that much more by remembering what God did for us by giving us his son.
Yeah. And I know you begin each reflection with the words, "Be still and know that I am God," because we moderns aren't so good at silence all the time. So
no.
Is that something you have to force yourself to do, to take time out of, because, you know, you're busy like everybody else. Do you have to force yourself, remind yourself to take those moments of silence?
Oh, absolutely. And living in New York City, it's harder than ever, as you know well enough.
Yeah.
But, and, you know, the pace of modern life today is not as conducive to silence and to quiet and to being still and to having time just to think about things. Mm-hmm. So Advent is a good time to reconnect with that and to listen for the voice of God.
Yeah. To take 5 minutes less shopping and just, you know, devote 5 minutes to reading a reflection from this book, which is called The Living Gospel Daily Devotions for Advent. And one of the other recurring threads in your book is the words, the song, "O Come, O Come, Emmanuel." And I have to admit, as a kid, I wasn't so crazy about it. I wanted to jump right into the "Hark the Herald Angels Sing" and all the carols, but it's grown on me as I've gotten older. Why do you think that hymn perfectly represents what you're trying to accomplish with this book?
Well, it's a song of anticipation mm-hmm. and a song of yearning and longing, and there's a kind of mournful quality to it also. You know, Advent comes at the darkest time of the year. As the nights get longer, the days get shorter, it gets colder. And so we string lights all around us to try and fill the darkness with light.
Yeah.
But really, we need to look to Christ to be that light. And that's really what we're yearning for and what we are crying out for. My father-in-law has complained for years about how dreary the songs are in the Catholic Church leading up to Christmas. And I said, well, you know, there's a reason for that. And he said, yeah, well, that doesn't mean I have to like it.
Well, that makes perfect sense, yeah, because we do want to jump ahead, but you just mentioned the darkness and the lack of light, and in the book's introduction, you quote Helen Keller and relate her words to Advent, and she is someone who lived in darkness because of her blindness. What insights did you get from Helen Keller that relate to Advent?
Well, part of it is her tremendous courage
mm-hmm.
and her fearlessness. You know, I have that quote in there that life is either a daring adventure or nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And we should approach Advent and the coming of Christmas that way, too. The greatest adventure in human history was God coming into the world as Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And we continue to live out that adventure all these centuries later. And we should look at Advent in a similar way, as doing something a little bit daring, a little bit countercultural, counterintuitive, stepping away from the noise and the glitter and the lights and the music, and taking a little bit of quiet time just to think and to pray and to think about God's work in our lives and to get ready for him to come into the world.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And I mean, one of the, you cite many gospel stories throughout this book, The Living Gospel, Daily Devotions for Advent. And one of my favorites is the one you bring up. It's the centurion asking Jesus to heal his servant. Why is that story perfect, not just for the Advent season, but for the world that all of us are living in right now?
Well, it's a story of total and complete trust
mm-hmm.
that God, Jesus, even without having to go to the centurion's home, can accomplish something wonderful. And that's really, you know, the essence of what Christmas is about. And this God coming into our lives and coming into our world and trusting that he will make right what is wrong and that he will heal what is broken within us and within those we love.
Yeah.
It's a tremendous statement of faith.
Yeah. I'm Tony Rossi. You're listening to Christopher Close-Up. I'm talking to Deacon Greg Kandra about his book, The Living Gospel, Daily Devotions for Advent. You'll also know him as a Pathos blogger of the Deacon's Bench. He is multimedia editor at the Catholic Near East Welfare Association, and their website is cnewa.org. And he is a former CBS News writer, producer. He's won 2 Peabody Awards, 2 Emmy Awards, and 1 Christopher Award. So he's got quite the resume, Deacon Greg, and now he's written this wonderful book on Advent called Daily Devotions for Advent in the Living Gospel series. And one of the things I liked about the book is it's not just general observations about Advent. You reveal parts of your own life as well. And you tell one story about visiting Santa at a shopping center when you were 5 years old and hearing him tell you something that floored you. What happened and what can all of us learn from the experience?
That was when I went to Santa Claus and asked him for a bicycle for Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And he listened very politely and very attentively, and he said, well, I will see what I can do, but first you have to stop sucking your thumb. And I was just blown away. I was, you know, 5 years old or so, and how did he know that I had a problem sucking my thumb?
Mm-hmm.
And my parents, you know, for months have been trying to get me to stop, and nothing worked until Santa Claus told me not to do it and said, okay, that's it, deal done. And I never sucked my thumb again after that. It was a transformative sort of miraculous moment in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, one of the points I think I made is that too often we tend to look at God as being like Santa Claus
mm-hmm.
In our prayer life. And, you know, we come to him with our thoughts and our prayers and say, give me this, give me that.
Yeah.
And it's a lot more complicated than that. And we need to have a more mature sense of who God is in our life and in our world.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, we do live in a cynical, jaded world, as you point out. But one of the things you try to get people to do in this book, The Living Gospel, Daily Devotions for Advent, is open themselves up to wonder. How do you keep that sense of wonder, you think, alive?
Well, it's hard. You know, we live in such a cynical age and a cynical time, and we are surrounded by people who are telling us that things are fake and it's not real. And it's a lot of it comes down to faith and comes down to trusting that there is a higher power, that there is a God who is looking out for us and who loves us.
Mm-hmm.
And trying to maintain that sense of wonder and joy and fascination. And there's something very childlike about that. We need to hold on to that. And that's something else that Christmas does for us. And Advent and getting ready for Christmas can do for us is reawaken that part of ourselves that maybe we put aside, you know, when you reach a certain age. That sense of wonder and enchantment and mystery. There used to be a show on TV about unsolved mysteries.
Yeah.
Well, there's still unsolved mysteries in our world and things that should humble us and awe us. And, you know, I think Christmas is one of those things. Advent is one of those things.
Yeah. Well, I agree with you. And I think one of the things that this book can do, that Advent can do, is, you know, essentially we live in a self-obsessed culture with our selfies and our iPhones. But in Advent, I think it asks us, and you do so in this book, asks us to look at ourselves in a way that isn't about vanity, in a way that's truthful and honest and can change us for the better. Why do you think that you know, honest appraisal of ourselves, how can that help us live out Advent better?
Well, it helps us to be more authentically what God wants us to be and mm-hmm. what God made us to be. The other big part of the Advent season and the Christmas season really is about generosity and giving and sharing of ourselves. And the more that we know ourselves and know who we are and what we're about, the more we're able to give to others and do it joyfully and selflessly.
Yeah. I mean, and one of the people that you highlight in this book, and obviously it's because of their a Marian feast during Advent, the Immaculate Conception, Our Lady of Guadalupe. What can Mary's life teach us about preparing for the birth of Jesus and living like that?
Well, Mary is such a great example for all of us. I've preached about this a few times. The idea of so often we ask ourselves, well, what would Jesus do, WWJD? And I challenge people, ask yourself, WWMD, what would Mary do? She accepted everything that God asked her to do and did it unquestioningly and with so much trust and so much love and fidelity. And I think that is part of our great challenge, particularly in the age that we live in now, to trust God and to not be suspicious of him and to feel like whatever happens, God is going to get me through this. And certainly Mary did that with such courage and conviction and complete trust. And if we can live our lives like that, what a joy.
I'm Tony Rossi. You're listening to Christopher Close-Up, and I've been talking to Deacon Greg Kandra about his book, The Living Gospel, Daily Devotions for Advent. As he writes in the book, the challenge of Advent is to make ourselves ready for Jesus to come into our world and into our hearts. And I think this book will help all our listeners do that. So please look for the Living Gospel series. It's from Ave Maria Press, Daily Devotions for Advent by Deacon Greg Kandra. And Deacon Greg, thanks so much for being on the show today to share your insights on the season.
Thank you, Tony.
I'm Tony Rossi, and you're listening to Christopher Close-Up. I'll be back in a minute to talk with author Meadow Rue Merrill about her new children's Christmas book. But first, here's a message the Christophers would like to share with you.
We all likely pray that we get through life without times of darkness, but the reality is that they're unavoidable. The solution, as we say at the Christophers, is to light one candle. And ultimately, the light of that candle has only one source, Jesus, who ignites the divine spark within us. That's why the Christophers have prepared a news note called Jesus, the Light of the World. It will help you see the radiance of the Savior all around you and allow you to move forward in life with hope and love. To request your free copy of Jesus, the Light of the World, send an email to radio@christophers.org or call our toll-free number at 1-888-298-4050. That's 1-888-298-4050. We look forward to hearing from you.
Welcome back to Christopher Close-Up. I'm Tony Rossi, and we're going to keep going with the Advent Christmas theme with my next guest, author Meadow Rue Merrill. Meadow was on this show a few months ago to discuss her Christopher Award-winning memoir, Redeeming Ruth. She wrote that book about her family's experience adopting a Ugandan orphan with severe disabilities. Now Meadow has turned her writing skills to a book for children that teaches them to keep Christ in Christmas. It's called The Christmas Cradle, and here to tell us more, I'm pleased to welcome to Christopher Close-Up, Meadow Rue Merrill. Meadow, it's so great to have you on the show again.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, first of all, congratulations on this new children's book, The Christmas Cradle. Tell our audience, tell our listeners a little bit about what the story is of this new illustrated children's book you've written.
Right, so I've got a bunch of kids at home, and Christmas has become so commercialized. I wanted a way for children to express the joy and fun of Christmas, mm-hmm. where it was still centered on Jesus. And so I came up with a story about a little girl going to her aunt's farm, and they discover a cradle that leads to a family tradition.
Okay. Was this book inspired by any real-life events or traditions in your own family or other people's families?
I actually have a favorite Christmas story by Norman Vincent Peale called A Gift of the Heart.
Okay.
And it is about trying to find a gift for someone who has everything, and a young woman who decides to give a gift to the poorest baby she can find in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, this is about trying, how do we give a gift to Jesus, who has everything? How do we honor him on this day? And I really feel like we can do that best by giving gifts to other people.
Yeah,
in his
yeah.
name.
Well, at the end of the book, I know there's a page that, you know, it suggests that this isn't just a story you're telling, because your book also encourages some action. Talk about that a little bit.
I hope that this book will be something that families can celebrate together with their friends and their neighbors, and to create a tradition of having their own Christmas cradle. Jesus, of course, didn't have a cradle on Christmas. And so this is an activity where families can make a cradle for Jesus that would be part of their decorations leading up to Christmas. And then when they have the opportunity to do a good deed for someone else, a gift of the heart, then they can write it on a little piece of paper and put it in the cradle.
Mm-hmm.
And then on Christmas morning, we can remember those people who we've served by taking out their names in those cards and praying for them.
Yeah, no, that is a wonderful idea. And I'm talking to author Meadow Rue Merrill about her children's book, The Christmas Cradle. Her website is meadowrue.com. That's R-U-E, meadowrue.com. You know, we've been talking about these special gifts from the heart, and we Americans do tend to spend a lot of money at Christmas time, but not everyone has that much to spend. So I'm curious, in your own life, have you ever had Christmases where money was tight, but it still turned out to be a meaningful holiday anyway?
One of my favorite Christmas memories was when we truly had very little to give our kids.
Mm-hmm.
And a neighbor encouraged them to write letters to Santa. And I was thinking, why? We don't even have the ability to do this.
Yeah.
But sure enough, Christmas Eve, she invited our family over to her home. And there in the middle of her living room was a pile of Christmas gifts, including for the baby that I was pregnant with. And as my husband and I brought those home, that Christmas Eve, it really was the kind of magic that we all hope for.
Mm-hmm.
But somehow spending it on ourselves doesn't make it happen.
Yeah.
It's really when we find someone with a greater need than ourselves,
mm-hmm.
to give it away.
Yeah, no, that's beautiful. And the other person, you know, gave this gift of joy to you and your family and your kids. So, and now you're trying to do the same for others.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I know there's a lot of lonely people today, too. And this
yeah.
is in just about the gift itself, but making connections to the people around us.
Yeah. Well, you know, that reminds me of a column of yours I read from a few years ago. It was about a neighbor of yours named Hildegard who unexpectedly moved away. You mentioned the loneliness, and I got an impression that that might have been what she was struggling with. What happened with Hildegard, and why did she leave such an impression on you?
She was one of those magical neighbors in my life. She would come walking up our porch steps in her early 80s with gifts for my children, not things she had bought at the store, but gifts that she had collected over the years, a massive collection of Lincoln Logs. And she would just say, come and play with these, keep them as long as you want, bring them back when you're done. She would make cookies with my kids in her kitchen and sword fight with them in her basement. And it's funny you bring her up, because as we get older, we often do need change in our lives. And she is living in New York now.
Mm-hmm.
But I sent her a copy of The Christmas Cradle about 2 weeks ago, along with a letter and a picture of our family, thanking her again for the difference she made in our lives.
Wow, that is beautiful. It's nice that you have neighbors you can connect with and who just reach out. And I guess that is one of the ways to counter loneliness, is just to reach out to someone else, even though there's a little fear involved, there's vulnerability involved. But she did it, and it was certainly appreciated by your family.
Yes, she was priceless.
I'm Tony Rossi. You're listening to Christopher Close Up. I'm talking to Christopher Award-winning author Meadow Rue Merrill. She won a Christopher Award for her book Redeeming Ruth earlier this year. But now we're talking about her children's book called The Christmas Cradle. You can find out more at her website, which is meadowrue.com. And again, that's R-U-E, meadowrue.com. I'm curious, in case people didn't hear our last interview, I just want to give a little background on Redeeming Ruth. It was about your adoption of Ruth, who was a disabled orphan from Uganda. And I'm curious, did your experience with Ruth affect your views on Christmas at all, maybe in terms of being exposed to the real need in the world?
You know, it affected my views on absolutely everything. Mm-hmm. And Ruth just won our hearts with her bright smile and her just the laughter in her eyes. It took a great amount of sacrifice to meet her physical needs, and yet the joy she brought us was so incredible. And one of the experiences I had while we were working on our adoption was going to Uganda, where I was stunned to find out how far an American dollar would go in meeting the needs of people who struggle with the very basic necessities there. And coming back to the airport in Boston, I was waiting to get picked up, and I grabbed a coffee and a donut for Ruth, and the woman said $3.50.
Mm-hmm.
And I could almost not hand over the money because I realized how trivial it is here, but how much it can do to meet the needs of people who really can't meet their own needs around the world.
Yeah, you know, that is really something. And, you know, you're right, it doesn't seem like a lot of money to us, but it goes really far in other countries. We don't realize it.
It does. So even those of us who don't have a lot extra,
yeah,
that little bit that you're able to put aside, it goes really far in helping people who really can't do it for themselves.
Now, Ruth unfortunately passed away a few years ago, but I was wondering, how do you keep her memory alive in your heart at Christmas time and even throughout the year?
You know, getting to know Ruth and meeting her needs really opened our lives to the needs of children around the world and in our own communities who don't have what they need. And so I realized how far our gifts, you know, donations and even time can go when we invest those in the lives of someone else. And so Ruth really changed our hearts forever in the way we sort of look at things and just wanting to reach out and share what we have with others.
Yeah, yeah. Well, in a way, this book kind of relates to the Advent season, too, not just Christmas. It seems like preparing. And during the first half of the show, I was talking to author Deacon Greg Kandra. He has a book of Advent reflection. So I'm curious, do you have any special memories of during Advent with your kids on how you prepared yourself and them for the coming of Christmas?
We typically find an Advent book that we can read either once a week or each night during the Advent season,
mm-hmm.
but we celebrated the Christmas Cradle in our own family last year by decorating and putting a cradle in the middle of our dining room and adding our little note cards to it. And I found that was a way to keep the season focused on Jesus and generosity and other people rather than shopping through catalogs and hoping that I'll get what I want.
Yeah, yeah. I'm talking to author Meadow Rue Merrill. We're discussing her children's book, The Christmas Cradle. It's part of her Lantern Hill Farm series. And, you know, we keep talking about this Christmas story, but what do you think it is for you that even though this story is 2,000 years old, it still resonates with you really today? It comes through in your interview. Why does this particular story still resonate with you, do you think?
You know, Christmas in our season, in our calendar, is such a dark time of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And I think about those words, about the light coming into the darkness. And we light our homes with candles and with lights on the tree and in our towns. And to me, all of that is a reflection of the ultimate light of God coming into our personal darkness to be with us. And that is what we are celebrating on Christmas. And I should add that 10% of all of the royalties from the Lantern Hill Farm series,
mm-hmm.
Go to Children in Need through Compassion International. So that is another way of just sharing that light with people who are living in really difficult times.
Yeah. No, that's beautiful that you're donating part of the proceeds to that. And again, I was looking at a few of your other posts online, and I saw one of the pieces of advice you give for during the Advent season is to reconnect with family, even family members you've been estranged from. How do Advent and Christmas turn your mind to family in the biggest sense of that word? Maybe not just, you know, our family here on earth, but even our whole Christian family.
That's a good one. I just think it's all about bringing people together, and sometimes
yeah.
It's easier to focus on the people that we enjoy being around.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, sometimes bridging that gap, whatever distance has grown between you and another person, finding a way to offer and extend forgiveness or peace or just a little gesture of love will cover a lot of brokenness or bitterness. And you know, life is too short
yeah.
to hold on to that kind of estrangement.
Yeah.
So it's just another opportunity in our culture, in our calendar, to share love with people around us.
Yeah, and that's really what the book, The Christmas Cradle, is about. It's about sharing love. So in our final 30 seconds, just tell me what you hope readers get out of this book.
I hope they get that it's about more than themselves.
Yeah.
You know, the holidays at Christmas and the other series, books in the series focus on Easter, birthdays, the harvest season, and Thanksgiving, in all of those places, just shining the light of Jesus, that we're not here just to enjoy and celebrate ourselves, but to really share God's light with others.
I'm Tony Ross. You're listening to Christopher Close-Up. I've been talking to author Meadow Rue Merrill. She won a Christopher Award earlier this year for the book Redeeming Ruth, a memoir she wrote about adopting a young girl from Uganda with disabilities. But now she's also written this children's book, The Christmas Cradle. It's perfect for the season. Like Meadow was saying, it kind of gets our minds away from buying stuff for ourselves into giving the gift of love, the gift of the heart, gifts from the heart to other people around us. So pick up The Christmas Cradle. I think you'll enjoy reading it with your kids. And Meadow, again, the website is meadowrue.com. Meadow, thanks for writing the book and for sharing some great insights about it today.
Thank you, Tony. It's delightful to be here.
In closing, I want to thank all our listeners for tuning in today, and I encourage you to visit our website at christophers.org to learn more about the Christophers and to download free literature and podcasts. When you're there, you can also find links to our blog and our Facebook and Twitter pages. And if you have any questions or comments about the show, you can send an email to radio@christophers.org. Our engineer for today's show is Brian Bonifacio, and I'm Tony Rossi, your host. Thanks again for joining us, and remember that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness.